great honour for me to be able to do this because I've seen some of your very early work, and I was reading that on the way here, Borderline.
Indeed.
Yes, and I was reading a note that Hanif Qureshi wrote in the beginning of the programme, which said that while he was trying to write this play, you were continually reminding him how little English people knew about Asians living amongst them, and that the theatre can, in whatever minimal sense, educate people.
Yes.
And I was just wondering that 29 years later, you're doing Mixed Up North, whether you feel we have more knowledge about Asian people, or are we back in the borderline place, you know?
I think we do have more knowledge, but I think education is a word we're scared of in the theatre. Education is a bad word, and entertainment is a good word. And I think we have to question that. And I think part of the function of theatre and what theatre does well is bring us other worlds that we don't necessarily know about. So, for example, on this play is set in Burnley, which is not a town prior to the research for this play that I'd ever been to. So you start from a position of ignorance, and the show is comprised of or is based on different interviews that we had from people from that community, from both, as it turned out, the white and the Bangladeshi community. So you're doing a play starting from a position of ignorance. But yes, I think we probably know more about the Asian community than we did when Hanif and I did Borderline, but still probably not enough.
But why did you want to particularly explore the relationship between the Asian and the English community in Burnley at this time?
Well, in fact, it was a chance remark made by David Edgar. I was at a loose end one afternoon. He said, well, come to the Royal Society with me. There is this debate about racism and Englishness. So I went with him, and there was an Asian MP who stood up and talked about feeling English and how he'd never felt English, but that during the World Cup, his two daughters had insisted that they buy a St. George flag and put it on his car, and how then white van men hooted at him and waved, and how he felt English for the first time. It's very curious. And David said, well, it's no accident that, no Asian has ever played cricket for Yorkshire, because if you have an institution that's dominated by one ethnicity, it's very difficult for people from another ethnicity to join it. What you have to do is form a new institution. And he quoted this theatre company for young people in Burnley who were called Breaking Barriers in Burnley, and who drew or intended to draw both from the white and the Bangladeshi communities, and therefore formed a theatre company that had the dual function not only of doing theatre but of mixing up people in the community. And that seemed like a subject that was very interesting for a play. So Robin Soames, the writer, and I, and the actors, came to Burnley and met and indeed talked to a number of people, both in the theatre group and just citizens, the development manager of the Burnley Football Club, people in the Burnley area.
I see, and that's very much part of the way that you work, I understand that.
Well, this is what you would call a verbatim play. I mean, the deal is that most of the dialogue you hear has actually been spoken to us in the course of rehearsal. But you're right, I very much use research as part of any play I'm doing. For example, I did a play called Serious Money by Carol Churchill, which is set in the financial world. And that was intensively researched by the actors, two of whom got jobs on the floor of the Financial Futures Exchange. So research is part of any play I do. But this, I suppose, flashes the research rather more nakedly than most plays.
So did you spend a lot of time in Burnley meeting people after the riots or disturbances, as they're called in the play, of 2001?
Yes, we did.
Not
just me, the actors. The actors became a research team. So the actors themselves often met the people that they're portraying.
So this particular play is set in like a youth club where they're trying to put on a play which
that's
is
correct,
looking at
yes.
race and relationships.
Exactly.
But do you think that's a kind of a sort of a, I don't know, a false premise in a way? Does a lot of that work go on in terms of community cohesion, what they call community cohesion now, where you know, people are encouraged to do performing art as a way of escaping the boredom of ordinary life.
Life without employment, often.
Yes.
You're saying, is that inaccurate in that it...
Yeah.
Well,
or is it a grafted premise in that sense? You
I
know?
Think it's clear from the play that this is an exceptional institution and it's not the norm. So, yes. I mean, I think what's characteristic of Burnley is that although it's a relatively small town, it has many of the characteristics of major urban deprivation. It has a Premiership football team, it has poor social housing, it has, race is a factor, unemployment is a huge factor, poverty is a huge factor. So this is a way of looking at that.
Okay, you just opened the show here at the Bolton Octagon where we are today.
Indeed.
And how has that been received?
Well, we've done two performances so far and it's been received very well. Yeah, I mean, there's a very engaged audience here. How it will, because we're about to embark on a big national tour, so how it will go down in, say, Southampton or Northampton is a question we'll come to later in the tour.
Can I just ask you, you said earlier that we know more about the Asian community now than we did in, say, 1981 when, you know, you first did Borderline. I'm just wondering what kind of, evolution have you observed over the past nearly 30 years now?
Well, for example, there was a period when if you had, say, three West Indian parts to cast in a play, it would be very difficult to find them. But actually, the influx of people from West Indian backgrounds going to drama school has meant that there's now a much wider pool of actors available, and it's no longer difficult at all to cast a part like that. And I'd say that's now the same with the Asian community, that in this play there are three young Asian men and one young Asian woman. I think that would have been incredibly difficult to cast 29 years ago. And now it's not a problem. They've been to excellent drama schools. They've got a commitment and a seriousness about their work. They're equipped with technique. They're a joy to work with. And I don't think that would have been the case even as little as 12 years ago.
So there's more people in terms of the acting, people have gone to theatre and so on, but what about in terms of us as a society, you know, Britain, how has Britain changed in that time in terms of, you know, relationships between English and Asian people, or just in terms of your research, because Borderline set in like a, what you might call a youth movement group in Southall, a very radical political sort of outfit that's a bit separatist in its ideology, whereas this is set in a youth club where...
Where it's very much the opposite. It's mixed in its ideology.
Although there is an undertone within the play about young, the Asian men grooming English girls for sex and
it's referred
so
to, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Which is a reality that has been sort of in the news over the last few years.
So I gather, yes. Yeah. You asked me how it's changed.
Yeah, I think from your own observation.
Well, I think it's a world we're more familiar with, simply, that's all. And we're more... I mean, when we talked to a man called Dave Edmondson, who was the director of the Burnley Football Club, he was very clear that, you know, having an Asian centre-forward was an objective, but equally having an Asian member of the board. That the club had to be open to people of all ethnicities. So I think it's something that people who run institutions have taken on board much more in the last 30 years.
So
I'm much more likely to be interviewed for a radio programme by an Asian interviewer than I would have been 30 years ago, let's say.
Great. You've often said that, you know, the role of theatre is to provoke debate and not just to entertain.
Yes.
How do you hope this particular play, Mixed Up North, will contribute to the debate around race in this country?
Well, I think it will contribute because the people that, who run the community centre that features in the play, the people who run the theatre group, say themselves how frustrated they are because they're dealing with the symptoms of a society. They're dealing with the symptoms that are produced by poverty and under-education and poor housing. And their frustration is that they're dealing with symptoms, but they can't ever tackle the root causes. So I think if the play makes that clear, it will have done a service.
Great.
I mean, I should emphasise that the play, it peripherally deals with racism, the racism that the young people encounter, but it's not a principal concern of the, a principal subject of the play.
On a kind of a general note, could I ask you if you feel if theatre has been successful in dealing with the stories around race and racism? Have we tackled it in the kind of framework of theatre?
Well, I think one of the things theatre does is present other worlds. Whether I mean, this morning we were discussing a play of Alecky Blythe's that's set in a massage parlour brothel in Bournemouth. So the theatre is very good, and David Thacker did an extract from a play about the miners' strike. So miners, prostitutes in Bournemouth, the Asian community, I would draw no line between them except to say that the theatre is a very valuable instrument in portraying other worlds on stage, and that education, i.e. just learning about another world, is a vital part of it and something the theatre does very well.
You've just mentioned this morning, I'm here at the Bolton Octagon, you're here, there's been a debate going on, you're having a meeting with writers today?
It's a meeting about verbatim theatre, which is the name that's given to this kind of work that depends on documentary interviews.
Okay. Right.
And this play, is, Mixed Up North, is a play that's been produced by those interviews, so I guess this was an opportunity to talk about that subject.
It's verbatim theatre.
Verbatim theatre, yes.
Right. Do you think it's a good method of theatre to be able to help you explore the sort of other worlds that we have no access into?
I think it's a good alternative, yes. I mean, since my first verbatim play in, I think, 1974, I've probably directed 100 plays, of which 6 have been verbatim plays, but at least another dozen have depended on research and forming an acquaintance and an intimacy with a world that I previously knew nothing about, whether it's the world of high finance, the world of train drivers, the world of football managers, or the Asian community.
Great. So the show is, as I said, opened here at the Bolton Octagon. And
it opens at the Bolton Octagon, plays here for another couple of weeks, and then tours extensively, yes.
And then it arrives in London.
In London, where it's playing at Wilton's Music Hall.
In December.
In December, yeah.
Great. Well, I'm hoping that this interview is one of two parts. I'd like to see the show later and talk to one of the actors.
Of course.
Great. So, Max Stafford-Clark, thank you so much for talking to me at Theatre Voice, and I wish you all the luck for your show.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy the show, and it's been a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.